We started a few weeks ago doing the One Series. Ephraim did an awesome job last week sharing with us, being one in the Spirit. It's funny because Chris and I heard him preach part of what was the same message last week in the summer. He did an awesome job. And then last week, he did kind of part of what he did then and part of something new, and it was still awesome. And I loved every second of it because I love his heart. And I hope it spoke to you. If you want to have that again, just let me know. I can send it to you. Victor did that this week. He wanted to make sure he heard it, so I sent it to him. I don't know if he ever listened to it or not because he didn't as of the other day. But today we're going to be talking about being one in our Word. One in the Word and of our Word. And I'll explain that as we go along. Because we think of, when we think of the Word of God, it should seem so obvious to us that we should be in the Word. But time and time again, it doesn't matter if you're a pastor or a teacher or anyone else in the congregation. Sometimes it seems like one of the hardest things for us to do is be consistent in God's Word. I got to be honest with you. There are some times where all of a sudden my consistency flies out the window. And Sarah will be the first one to tell you when it happens because she can tell by my actions and my reactions whether or not I've been in God's Word or not. But it's such a key thing that I think we have to focus on and look at. And I want to look at again at what it said in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 17. And if you remember a couple weeks ago when I did one in our worship, this was part of that passage, but now we're going to look at it from a different angle too. And it's just the last three verses. But the part I want to focus on is where it says this, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you, and then it says teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. I love how it sets it up because it tells you exactly what you need to be doing in order to do the rest of it. We cannot, as a body, or individually, be pouring into other people's life if we haven't connected ourselves to God's Word. And I love John 15, as we talked about before, being connected to that vine. And it's one of these things that if we want to know Christ better, we have to go to His Word. We have to be in it day in and day out. That's why in John 1:1 it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We cannot know Christ if we do not know His Word. It's such a key thing that we have to make time for. Now, I know people who are not morning people. Okay? My wife is not a morning person. She knew I was going to say her name because she started smiling before I did. She is not a morning person. So if she tried to get up to do her devotions in the morning, let's be honest, she's going to fall back asleep. Me, on the other hand, if I try to do my devotions at night, I will knock out before I hit the second verse. I mean, I usually fall asleep pretty quick, but in the morning, when my alarm goes off, I just get up. And once I get up, that's the best time to do it. So I know if I don't have that time in the morning, life is going to get in the way the rest of the day. We have so much craziness in our lives now, especially with our mobile phones and stuff like that, because if you think about it, the email is always an arm's length away. In our church's case, that WhatsApp is always one arm's length away. Everything can get in the way if we don't make the time. So what do we need to do? Well, the first thing we need to do is very simple, read. So you're going to say, well, that's kind of obvious, isn't it? Yeah, but we don't do it so many times. In Acts 2:42, it talked about they devoted themselves daily to the teaching of the apostles. They are showing that example in the first century church that we had to daily be in the Word of God. In Romans 10:17, in the ESV, it says, so faith comes from hearing and hearing through the Word of Christ. If we don't make sure that we have that time, how are we going to sit there and have the faith that comes from understanding and knowing God's Word? Because there's going to be tons of things that come along, and that has to be part of it. In Psalm 119, verse 11, it says, I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. If we don't know what God's word says, how are we going to sit there and and try to fight against the temptations that sin comes at us with if we don't have ourselves connected to that power source. It's just not going to happen. And I know there's one part of this verse that I got to be honest with you, it's hard for me. It says, I have hidden your word in my heart. Memorizing is one of the hardest things for me. Tony will attest to this because I can remember most of verses in a paraphrase, but if you want to know where it is, I always forget the verse reference for sometimes. And so that's why Tony's always around. I'm like, Tony, and I'll just say the verse and they'll say, oh, that's in James this or Philippians that. And I'm like, awesome. Because he's got one of those minds that catches the whole thing. My mind catches bits and pieces. So I have to be in it more to keep it in my heart to where it becomes that power source in order to fight those things that come along in life. But once again, if I'm not reading, it won't help. I love in Ephesians 6:17, where it's talking about the armor of God, where it says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I've always used this example with my youth when I was teaching in the U.S. The only part of the armor of God that is both offensive and defensive is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You say, well, why do we need something offensive and defensive? Well, look at the temptation of Jesus. When you look in, and when he's tempted, he doesn't just deflect Satan's attacks. He attacks him with the truth. He sits there and reminds Satan that, yes, you're saying this, but I'm telling you the word of God says this. There is power in the use of the scriptures. There is power in the fact that those words are alive. If we look at these verses as a whole, they all require action. We have to take the time and make the effort to pursue this relationship. If we sit there and say, well, I don't really need to read my Bible to have a relationship with God, let me ask you a question. If you don't speak to someone for a long, long, long time, how is that relationship going to be? If I decided now that I'm not going to talk to my son for the next 10 years, how do you think that relationship's going to be in 10 years? It's going to be non-existent. So if we want to have this relationship, it's something we have to work at. Relationships are always going to be work. Why? Because we're different people. And it's key to that two-way conversation. You sit there and say, well, when you're reading, you're not having a conversation. Yes, you are. You're reading what was written to us 2,000 years ago that is still as much applicable today as it was when it was written on that day. But we have to take the time. If we want our relationship to be strong, individually, and as a church body, this has to be the first step that we all take, and that is spending time daily to read His Word. Now, it's one of those things where technology has helped us out a lot to where if you want a devotional plan, you literally just have to open an app. And there's hundreds. I have the YouVersion Bible on my iPad. I've got devotions in there for me and the kids, for me, myself. I think I have like three going right now. But it's one of these things where if you want to look for a specific topic, if you want a devotional on prayer, you can find that very easily. But make sure that you're always focusing on the scriptural part, not just the nice little reading part that you have every morning. Make sure the scripture is at the heart of it. Don't just read it through once. Read it through several times. Because when we do that, then all of a sudden we can do the second thing, which is receive. We receive from the Word. This is that time of growing and maturing. Taking the time to really meditate and study God's Word allows us to have richness in our relationship. It's not a matter of simply reading the words, but also taking the time to understand what the author was speaking about. My dad told me when I was younger, he's like, you know, just read a Proverbs a day. So I ended up reading through Proverbs from the time I was 14 to the time I was 18, once a month. But I got to the point where I was just kind of reading through the words really fast and got to the end, I'm like, okay, did my devotions for the day. And I ticked the box, but I didn't pay attention to anything that it was talking about. That's not what we need to do. We need to be able to receive it, which means we need to study it and meditate on it. Somebody asked me one time, they're like, well, how do you study? Start off with, you know, okay, who's he talking to? What is he addressing? Now, how should I apply this to my life? Those are three easy questions to answer as we go through. It doesn't mean you have to read passages. I remember thinking, okay, I have to read a whole passage every time I'm doing my devotions. No, if God's speaking to you through one verse, then study and dissect that thing as much as you can. But ask God what he wants you to do with it. I love in Psalms 1, 1 through 3, it says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers." Now, I'm from Miami. Okay? We have things called hurricanes in Miami. And you get to understand all these times where it talks about being rooted, being next to the stream and being deeply rooted and stuff like that. You end up understanding why really quickly when you're from Miami and hurricanes roll through. Because what you see a lot of is this. Okay? This is after one of the hurricanes. You see, this looks like a huge root system, doesn't it? But I want you to notice something. It's not deeply rooted. You start figuring out really quick what trees were brought in from other areas that were not native to Florida after a hurricane. Because they're all the ones with the root systems that go really wide, but they don't go deep. And in order to survive a hurricane, it's got to go deep. The one tree that you don't see that many falling over is palm trees. Palm trees have a root system that goes down deep, and they're so dense in their roots that they are so strong. In fact, the only time I've seen palm trees actually go down in a hurricane is when the actual trunk snapped. But the root stayed. And let me tell you something. If you want to get a palm tree out of the ground in Florida, you're going to have your work cut out for you. So when it talks here about the person that is like a tree planted by the streams of water, it's talking about that because that's where the richness is. That you want, he wants your roots to grow deep. As it talks about in Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, it talks about being deeply rooted. That's what happens when we take the time to meditate, study, and receive from God's word. Those roots begin to grow down. The thing that I love about God's word is it doesn't matter what your age is, you can get something out of it. It always scares me when I meet a Christian, they say, you know, I've read the book, the Bible, cover to cover. I know exactly what it says. I don't need to do it again. That's the one that's going to fall. My grandfather told me when I was younger, he says, I learn something new about God every day. And I will continue to do that every day until the day I die, and then I can just ask God myself. Now, he's 85 years old now. He's been a missionary for over 50 years, and he still puts me to shame with his consistency in what he does. He doesn't let anything stop him from reading God's word. He cannot see his Bible now. He can't drive anymore because he can't see. He's got so many problems with his eyes, but since I was little, I've noticed he always had some kind of speaker system or something with him. Before, it was with a cassette player and these two little fold-out speakers, and he'd sit there and he'd go through the Bible time after time, year after year. And so now he's got it on his iPad. The letters are like this big on his iPad, but he knows how to find his audio Bible, and he hits the button and it starts talking to him. So if you sit there and say, well, I can't read through it and study that way, fine, get one that will talk to you, that will read it to you. There's a great one that I bought 6-7 months ago. And it's got some of the best audio tracks and voice actors in the world, and they go through this. So if you want to know about it, come ask me afterwards, because it's one of those things where sometimes I want to just hear God's word. But it's taking that time to receive. I want us to look here at Acts chapter 17. So now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. And there's a lot of stuff here. First of all, if you look at it, they had more noble character because why? Because they received the message. They received the word of God, and they didn't just take Paul's word for it. They studied to find out. One thing I will urge you to do, I don't care who is standing up here or wherever you go on a Sunday, if you visit somewhere else or something like that, always go back to God's Word and see if what the preacher is saying is actually what the Bible says and if it's right. I get so sick and tired of hearing guys sit there and put something out there as truth that is not. Check up on all of us. The Bible is your final authority, not us. Always bring it back to His Word. Now, I want you to look at this picture for a second, and I want you to think, is this a situation where you think you can be rested? That you could find rest in the midst of this storm? Most people don't think of storms in life and trials in life as something that you can rest in. But if you think about the examples that Jesus gave us when He's going across the Sea of Galilee with the disciples at this point, and there's a major storm, these guys are thinking they're going to die. But what happens? He's asleep. He's at rest because He knows in whose hands He is in. And that is God the Father. If we have Christ in our life and we're spending time day with Him, we will have rest in Him. That rest is something that only He can give. How can we ever have true rest outside of Christ? The truth is we can't. The world tries to fill itself with all these different things all the time because they're trying to find rest. They're trying to find contentment. They're trying to feel complete. But we can't do that outside of Christ. And if we're not connected to Christ, how are we going to receive what we need to receive? It's not going to happen. He is the only one that can give us that ultimate rest. Storms and trials will come and go, but only God is consistent and constant. As we learn the truths, then we can learn to rest in Him because His Word is alive. I love in Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Notice it says that it's alive and active. Most people don't think of books as being alive or active, do they? I've never seen someone pick up a book at the library and say, "Man, this book is alive." No. I've seen some of my old students, like when the new Harry Potter book came out or a new Twilight book came out or one of these, and they're like, that's not what I'm talking about with alive. I'm talking about being able to open up the Word of God and sit there and go, wait a minute, this can change my life. I've never seen another book that could actually change someone's life. I've seen people fake it for a while, but anybody can fake something for 6 months. But if we are at rest in Him, if we are letting God's Word be alive and active in our life, it begins to change us from the inside out. It talks here about it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Let me give you a little insight. If you're constantly in God's Word and you're constantly seeking Him and you're constantly growing, guess what? Those attitudes and thoughts in your heart are going to begin to change and match up to His. When it talks about if we follow God, He will give us the desires of our heart. Let me give you a little insight. The reason He'll give us the desires of our heart is because if we are connected to Him in the vine like we're supposed to be, our wants and desires begin to change to match up with His. It's not about sitting there going, man, I want the newest game system, or I want the newest car, or I want this or that. No. Because all of a sudden we start seeing the world as God sees it, and we start having eyes for the unreached and the people who haven't heard the gospel, and all of a sudden that becomes our driving force. The amount of things that have changed in my wants and desires over the years are amazing. I remember when I was a kid, man, I wanted a Ferrari. I could care less about a Ferrari right now. I just want to be able to have food in the fridge with three boys in the house. You guys understand how that is. But when I look at the things that I want now, the biggest desires of my heart is that God will be alive in the hearts of my kids. That they will have a relationship with Him when they're out of my home. It wouldn't be that way if God hadn't changed my heart along the way. But let's remember that His Word is alive and active. And when it is alive and active in our life, it actually gives us rest. Anybody remember what our verse is for the church this year? It talks about one thing. It talks about rest. It's Psalm 62:1. And you understand, if you're going through a time of turmoil and storm and trial, being able to rest in Him, it's one of the best things ever. Because you know whose hands you're in, no matter what the situation. Now, one of the things that I think about here when it talks about rest is the changes that we have in our spiritual walk. If someone has just come to Christ, man, they're just starting to chew on the little stuff. It's kind of like baby food. You got to start off small. I have never seen anyone try to give a baby a steak. Why? Because they won't be able to eat it. I think a little Elliot now, if somebody walking up to him, cutting off a piece of steak and going, here, it's not going to work. Besides the fact that Phil and Laura look at you like you're completely crazy. But why? Because when they're younger, they need that baby food. As we get older, as we mature, as we change, then all of a sudden the food starts getting more intricate and everything else. The same thing goes with God's Word. The more we study it, the more we understand it, we start understanding bigger chunks and bigger things in the Bible. And that's how God begins to work in our heart. When we have a deep relationship with God, we can tell when others may be teaching something that is not biblical. We need to be in it so that when we see someone that's off, we can tell them. Not being judgmental, but in grace. It's funny how people, if they don't know what God's Word said, they know just enough to get themselves in trouble, how they begin to twist truth. One of the things that comes to my mind is when people try to sit there and say, well, God told me this, and it goes completely against His Word. It doesn't make sense. God's not going to contradict Himself. I've had people tell me, well, God wants me to do this. I'm like, no, He doesn't. Well, like, how do you know? I said, because in the Bible it says something completely different. We have to know it in order to be able to help. When it talks about admonishing and encouraging and all these things, admonishing means when somebody's off, we help them see that they're off. Not in a judgmental way, but speaking the truth in love. But we have to be in God's Word in order for that to be something that we can do. As a church body, it is our responsibility that when we see someone that's off, that we go to them, we approach them in love, and speak the truth. Why do I keep saying in love? Because I'm not talking about judging people, throwing things at them, screaming at them, telling them about why they're wrong and everything else. That, unfortunately, is what the world has come to expect from us as believers. I bet you right now, if you go out to someone and say, what do you think Christians hate? They will give you a list as long as your arm. But if we say, well, what do Christians love? They're not going to know what to say. If we're in the Word and we're letting God's Word be alive and active in us and we're resting in Him, then at those times we can go to each other, both in the good times and bad times, and be able to help, encourage, admonish, whatever the case may be, in love. Going back to what I said before about the baby food thing, in Ephesians 4:14 it said, you know, then there will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. This goes back to knowing God's Word. Why? Because if we know God's Word and we rest in God's Word, we're not going to be tossed back and forth by the newest fad, the newest craze, or anything else. I've met people that every time they hear a new preacher on TV say something new, they're like, oh, this is so great. What does the Bible say? I have no idea, but it sounded so good. That's why we have to be in God's Word. And if we're one in the Word, the way we've been talking about all through these things, then we'll also be one of our Word. And the way we do that is we release through our actions. We are not meant to hold God's word just for ourselves. We are meant to share it with others. We are meant to live it through our lives on a daily basis, and we are meant to be people of his word. In James 1, 21 through 24, it says, "Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil desires that are so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do it, not do what it says, is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like." We have to do what it says. We can't just merely say, "Okay, I've read it, I know it," and then not do it. Faith without actions doesn't work. Our faith should push us to action, push us to share, push us to love. We are blessed to be a blessing. It's something that is at the core of everything. If our actions must match our words, because our lives should reflect his word. One of the things that I always don't understand is when I meet someone who thinks, you know, lying, especially believers that are like, you know, lying is no big deal. How's anybody ever going to trust you if all you're ever doing is lying? When I was a kid, my dad and my mom, my dad was always very strong about saying, you know, be a man of your word. So if you say you're going to do something, then do it. If you're not going to do it, then don't say you will. I used to tell my teenagers that I was teaching in the U.S. and with the boys and stuff like that, I said, you know, I'd rather you not give me your word than give me your word and break it. Let our yes be yes and our no be no. Let us live it out, because it's at the core of who we are, because our identity in Christ is more important than anything else. That is where we should draw our value, is that identity that we have in Christ Jesus, not in what the world thinks about us or based upon the value of the world system. No, we need to live it out, because our lives should be matching his word on a daily basis. In Colossians 3:17, it says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Word or deed. Everything that we are doing in our lives should reflect him. You sit there and say, but you don't understand. You don't know my boss. Everything, whether in word or deed. Well, you don't know my spouse. Do everything in word or deed. When we do these things, when we have relationships, when we have, whether it's business, family, whatever, we should be putting in our best, because we're doing it for God, for the Lord Jesus, not for ourselves. Which goes contrary to everything that the world says. The world says we should do it for ourselves. If it doesn't make me happy, then forget it. And that's why so many marriages and so many relationships and so many things are going right down the toilet. Because people don't want to work hard at things anymore. But if God is giving us the ability and his word to strengthen and edify us, then let us use that with everyone around. You realize Chris and I do not have the influence that you guys have if you work outside of the church? I mean, we're trying to figure out ways that we can connect with people here in Abbey Wood during the day. It's not the easiest thing. We've got the calf here, or we can walk around Sainsbury a bit. But that would be kind of strange. But you have access to people in your schools, your jobs, that we will never meet or come across. So we cannot do that. But your life will be that testimony to those around you. You will be the only Bible that some people will ever read. How are you going to live that if you're not in this? I alluded to this before, where in Ephesians 4:15, where it says, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ." Speaking the truth in love. And then it says, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head. That is the desire of our church. Because we want to become a mature body of believers together in him who is the head. That is what should drive us. And if we miss our devotions in the morning, we miss being in the Word, let it be something that we can feel the difference in our day. And let's not be satisfied until we get our hands on the Word of God and begin to open it and read it. And I'm talking to me as much as I'm talking to you guys. This is something that all of us have to do. Even if you have to set a reminder on your phone. I have to set a daily reminder on my phone just to remember this one thing that I've been doing for 3.5 years. If we have to set a reminder to sit there and say, okay, I need to make sure and take my time to read the Bible out, then do it. Don't let anything come in the way of you being connected to the vine. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you and praise you for the fact that you're such a great and awesome God, Lord. We thank you for the fact that you give us your word so that we can know you more. We thank you for the fact that we can come to you day or night, doesn't matter when, Lord. And we can have a relationship with you. Lord, it's humbling that you would even want a relationship with us, but Lord, we thank you for that. We pray that as a body, we would be in your word daily, that we would be searching daily, that we would be meditating and studying your word daily. Lord, that way we can affect the lives of those around us. Not because of anything that we do, Lord, but because of the power that you give us through your Son, Jesus. Pray that you would give us opportunities to speak and share your word with others. Lord, I pray that you would help us to become stronger as a body, a mature body of believers, Lord, that the closer that we get to your word, Lord, that we will just, that people will be able to see that your word is alive and active in our lives, Lord. Lord, we thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.